This is the Restaurant Technology Guys podcast, helping you run your restaurant better.
Welcome back to the Restaurant Technology Guys podcast. We thank you to our loyal audience for listening every time we post one of these things every couple of weeks. It's been fun to continue to bring on guests and to hear feedback from you guys as to what you're finding. I always love to hear back actually from our guests when they've engaged with you guys and and are able to solve some of your restaurant technology challenges or restaurant challenges in general, because we all have them. And this last 2 years has been pretty rough for most of us out there that serve in the restaurant industry and continue to try and make a difference in people's lives. As we started early on in the pandemic, we're back to more interviews and fantastic people that you guys are going to want to hear from. And today is not a whole lot different. Today, we are joined by Mike Walls. Mike, why don't you introduce yourself and tell our audience a little bit about who you are, and then we can get into kind of what you get to do for a living.
Sure. Thank you so much for having us on. This is a great honor. So my name is Mike Walls. I am a consultant with Synergy Restaurant Consultants. I've been with this company for about 4 years. Prior to that, I worked in a bunch of high-end steakhouses in Chicago. I had some great opportunities to work for some Michelin star chefs. I went to culinary school and I studied abroad in Lyon and Riorges in France. So I've got a really great culinary background, but I've spent most of my career in the front of the house. And so as a consultant, I get to wear a lot of hats thanks to my experience. So I do mixology. I'm a chef consultant. I'm an operations consultant. And I've also taken on in the last about 2 years, the project that we're talking about today, which is Synergy Sync, which is taking our knowledge and making it a little bit more accessible.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I think our audience would be upset with me if I didn't make you name drop a little bit as far as some of the restaurants that you got to work with and some of the chefs you got to work with, because while it may have been years ago and really fun times and probably some difficult shifts and some difficult hours serving some high-end clients, would you mind dropping any of those names that are out there, just because it's always fun to get a little bit of feedback? And for those that are in Chicago, it's one of the best restaurant cities in the world. So I know that there's lots of fantastic places that we visited Chicago have gotten a chance to eat at. So is that something that you're allowed to throw out, or is it something we gotta steer clear of for now?
No, absolutely. I worked for Michael Jordan's restaurant. I helped open the location in Oak Brook, so that was a great experience. I got to meet Jordan himself. He is incredibly tall, as you would imagine. And I also worked for Mike Ditka's restaurant for a number of years. So if you're outside of Chicago, I don't know if you know Coach, but we call him Coach. Mm-hmm. He led us to a Super Bowl in 85. So he's like, you know, Chicago legend. So worked for his steakhouses for a while. And then the biggest chef I worked for, his name was Chef Bill Kim. And he was the CDC for Charlie Trotter's, which was Chicago's first 3-star Michelin restaurant. So that was just an incredible experience to see his approach. And he actually went to a fast casual concept he created called Belly Q and Urban Belly. And one was like kind of a ramen shop and one was more Korean barbecue.
Okay.
And to see his level of culinary prowess and systems in those operations was just an amazing experience. The guy operates on a totally different level.
Yeah. No, I tell very true story. I 16 years ago when my wife was pregnant, I wasn't really into food, although I worked in restaurants and I've been doing this for over 25 years. It's, I never was really into the culinary aspect of it. You know, it wasn't about that. I'm really mad because I've really gotten into it. And I realized that I had lots of opportunities to go sit at the feet of some of the best chefs in the world. And I really didn't do a whole lot with it, because it wasn't really what I was interested in at the time. I was more tech and how do I run the front of the house a little bit better.
Right.
So you alluded to it, you know, you guys are a consulting group and you've been working there for 4 years. Talk to me a little bit about what you guys do on the whole before we jump straight into Synergy Sync. And, you know, because it sounds like you personally work in a significant amount of areas, mixology, chef, you know, front of the house, and now Synergy Sync, but checking out your website, looking at some of the other consultants that work for you guys have got a pretty deep bench, and it sounds like you guys solve quite a bit in the way of the restaurant industry and how you might be able to help people out. So why don't you give a little bit broader overview of what Synergy does as a consulting group for our audience?
Sure. So the joke we tell is that we do everything in the restaurant business other than hammer nails on a construction contract. So we've been in business for 33 years now. We've worked with over 1,800 restaurants, everything from Dunkin' Donuts to single unit mom and pops. So 1,800 restaurants, 275 of the biggest brands in the country. And we have done everything from new concept development. We start maybe five, six brands a year with clients. We do culinary development. We do restaurant turnarounds. We do, you know, growth strategies. We help people franchise. So we have, like you said, a really incredible bench. We have people on our team that have opened over 1,000 restaurants that have, you know, decades and decades of experiences with really amazing groups like Darden. We have, you know, restaurant owners. Much of our group has owned their own businesses, and we have a lot of experience.
I mean, you can tell just by a cursory look at your guys' website and some of the names on there, you guys will all recognize. So I'll put I'll put your guys' website in the show notes. But why don't we pivot a little bit as to kind of how you guys got to Synergy Sync? Where is that? What is that? You know, what is it? How does it solve restaurant challenges? And then we can talk a little bit about, where did it come from? I'm guessing it came back from, you know, conversations that you guys have had as a group. But why don't we talk a little bit about what it is and then where it came from?
Sure. So Danny Bendis, the managing partner at Synergy, he'd always had an idea of doing some kind of e-learning program. And I am a sponge for knowledge. So when I started working with all of these incredibly knowledgeable people, I liked to extract and write down the things that they were saying and some of the things they were teaching me, because I knew a lot going into this as a consultant. I came in as I'm a level 2 certified Cicerone, so I actually started off as a beverage expert, but there was just, you know, so much more to learn. And so the more I documented, the more I realized that, you know, we've got something on our hands here, and this is something that we can really use to give back to the industry that's been so great to us, and all of these, you know, tools that we can share with people. And as a kind of boutique consultancy, you know, we're not cheap, but we, you know, we have a track record of, you know, 30 years of incredible results. But we wanted to see how we could help more people at once. So we started this journey of, you know, how can we take what we know and share it with more people outside of just our regular consulting engagements. And that led us to a partnership with a learning management system called ExpandShare, who are our partners today. It's our favorite LMS system. And we realized that, you know, in the same way that we've created, you know, hundreds of training programs for our clients, we could create our own training program and our own operations platform that would really focus on independent restaurant owners and give them the tools that the big, the big boys at Darden's, those type of restaurants have. And we see it as, our job and our passion to help those independent restaurant owners thrive by teaching them to create a growth or a franchise prototype that systemizes their operation and helps them, you know, do what they love with good people, making great money, and still have a really good life. Because we see a lot of, a lot of pain in the restaurant industry as we Yes. do these turnarounds with people working in jobs where they basically can't get fired because they bought themselves this job and now they work 70 or 80 hours a week and they can't get out of the hole. And we found that by leveraging the technology of learning management systems and our coaching practice, we could empower those people to take their business to the next level and live a really great life.
I love that. And I think that there's two portions of your story that I think that'll resonate quite well. The first of which is the fact that you're a learner, and obviously people that are listening to the podcast are looking to expand their knowledge and their understanding of what's going on in quite a few ways. And so with that, I love that that's part of your DNA. And I also love that your passion is to help other restaurateurs, because almost every one of our partners out there that's been on the podcast, they just love the opportunity to share things that they've learned. And it's always fun when I hear those that are geared towards the SMB market, because unfortunately, you know, when you're at Chick-fil-A or you're at Darden or you're at Brinker or you're at Cheesecake Factory, you've got budgets to do things that these one-off restaurants or two-off restaurants maybe don't have to do. And I've continued to say it through the years that without these kind of investments in your restaurant, you're going to get bypassed. And I'll speak from a completely selfish perspective. I love the local mom and pop. You know, I mean, I do my fair share of spend at the chains as well, but I love the mom and pop where I can see an owner operator that's also in the community that I run into at the supermarket or at the local, you know, Target or Walmart, you know, that same operator that's there. But to your point, without investing in your business, it turns into a all consuming job, and without helping make those around you better. So I love that you guys are doing that. I love that you guys are, I guess, just spending the time and the energy to do that. Talk to me a little bit about what it looks like, because a lot of times what I hear and what I've spent some time with different people is they are restaurant consultants, but getting into this game of digital is different. How has that been for you guys? And I guess what would you say about that? Because it's such a different path, even for us in our business. You know, we moved from kind of selling somebody else's product to building our own product, and there's different skills, there's different tools, there's different capabilities on the sales side, on the implementation side, that look very different than they do from a peer consulting firm.
Yeah, the journey for us really wasn't that difficult. We had all the tools we needed to help people, and it was just about crafting a narrative and a proven process around those tools. So it actually started as an ebook where we basically took, you know, what would be the gold standard best operations manual, you know, you could imagine, and making that a little bit more interesting, entertaining, and actionable. So it started as an ebook, and then we were looking at the content, and we were like, you know, we could just make a course out of this and make it easy. And that's when we linked up with ExpandShare, and we basically just recorded ourselves talking about this stuff and showing the tools, and we got a videographer to help people or to show the things that we were doing. And that's how we created the first phase of this arm of our company, which is Synergy U, which is our management certification platform, our manager certification program.
Love that.
And then from there, since we were linked up with ExpandShare, initially we were just offering this course, and ExpandShare has all this, you know, checklist management tools. They have a newsfeed communication tool. They have this location, you know, transparency tool where you can see how trained is your team, what is their checklist completion rate. And it's just a really great way to take training directly into operations. They also shared a really great philosophy with us that you don't just train to train, like we train with purpose. The whole point of training is to improve performance and give people tools. And one of our favorite quotes is from Buckminster Fuller, who is an architect in Illinois. And a famous systems thinker, he said that if you want to change people's thinking, don't try to teach them. Provide them with a tool, the use of which will change their thinking.
I love that.
And yeah, it's really powerful. And that's exactly what we do. So we started providing tools through the ExpandShare system, which is the vehicle that carries our intellectual property and our operating system. We started leveraging that to bring systems in and tools to restaurant owners who could leverage that to start changing the behavior of their organization to something that operated like a highly professional restaurant.
Yeah, and so one of the things that I was thinking about, and I get these messages back from our audience from time to time. I'll throw out acronyms, and or our guests will throw out acronyms because we live in that world. You threw out the acronym LMS. Just for our audience out there that might not be familiar with it, that's the acronym for learning management. And I think Mike has talked around kind of the end results of it. But can you talk a little bit about how the messaging gets delivered? You talked about it coming through an ebook. I've seen lots of different people deploy LMS in different ways. They do home-based learning, they do tablet-based learning, they put it on your phone, they put it on a POS device, you know, they put it in the kitchen. Talk to me a little bit about what that looks like and how we're delivering this LMS solution through this partner, because I think it's critical for restaurateurs to understand that it doesn't take this huge investment in, you know, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars in infrastructure to launch something like this once you kind of know what type of content you want to deliver to your staff.
Yeah, absolutely. So the LMS system that we use is an app. So most people access it through their phones, but you can also grab it on a tablet or a PC. There's a web version. It's totally agnostic for Apple and Android. And it starts with this training tab where you click that. There's a series of learning tracks. Each one is focused on a different topic from what we call the restaurant operating cycle, which I'll get into in a moment. And basically, you click the first training video. It takes you through a couple of micro learning sessions with quizzes in between. So most of our videos are 6, 8, 10 minutes at the most. I think our longest one is 12 minutes. And we use those to teach people why they should engage in a process, how to do it. And then we do a video walkthrough of how to complete the system, method, procedure, or form. And so we're able to deliver that really succinctly. And what they're going to see when they go into our training, the first thing we teach is the restaurant operating cycle, which basically says that any restaurant, whether you're 3 Michelin stars, a coffee shop, or a burger joint, you have to buy product, you have to store it, you have to prep it, you have to sell it and create relationships, you have to account for those sales and that labor, and you have to use that information to buy the right stuff again and prep the right stuff again and staff the right way again. And you have to manage all of those processes. So it's kind of it's like a hub and spoke model.
I love that concept. And I think it's so funny because all too often, and I'm sure you've heard this in your career, all these restaurants think they're so unique, but the truth is it comes down to some of the same basic principles, how you deliver to the guest, what you deliver to the guest, all of those kind of things are a little bit different, but the blocking and tackling of the foundation of how a restaurant operates is very similar. But I'll let you finish. I apologize. I think it's way too often when I talk to restaurant operators, it's like, oh, you don't understand. You just don't understand. We're so different. We're so unique. And it's like, yeah, you buy food or you buy coffee or you buy drinks, you prepare them yeah. and you serve them to guests and you charge them for it. And then you have to account for it and buy more product and do it again tomorrow. So I'll let you finish up on kind of how the LMS delivers that product. But I think it's worth noting that a lot of the foundational stuff that you guys do doesn't necessarily have to be uniquely crafted and created for every single brand because it is relatively the same from the blueprint perspective.
Absolutely. Yeah. We teach universal principles that will benefit everybody. And again, we're focused on the individual. So it's about how do we increase the size and scope of that person's toolbox so that they can bring what they need to their organization. And so we start with the restaurant operating cycle, and then we do what we call stacking it. So we stack the restaurant operating cycle is the rock, and then we have stacks. So we stack the rock. And what that means is that to each phase of the restaurant operating cycle, buy, store, prep, sell, account, and manage, we add or we provide the tools and the teaching for structure, training, accountability, and communication. And that's the stack. And when all of the phases have that, we start with structure. Okay, so what is everybody supposed to do when they come in? When are they supposed to do it? How are they supposed to do it? Sometimes that comes in the form of checklists or, you know, there's all kinds of different systems, methods, and procedures that we plug in for structure. Then we help people understand how to train those systems, methods, and procedures. We help people understand how to build in accountability systems for those. And then we help people understand communication, which some of this now dips into the third thing that we teach in Synergy Sync. So we teach the rock, we teach how to stack the rock, and then we teach culture. And the biggest thing that we teach in culture is what we call up now management. And up now management, it basically starts with up. So in from our research and our understanding and our experience, the two most important factors in human motivation, so to get people to achieve, is achievement and recognition for that achievement. And that came from a big Harvard business study, but it works. So you want to manage your organization up, and you do that by, you know, catching people doing something right, rather than doing something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And you create a situation in which, you create an atmosphere in which they can achieve, and then you celebrate those achievements. That's how you raise your culture. And that's how you bring people, you make people want to make you happy. There's three types of manager personalities that we see most often. And the first one is the do-it-yourselfer. So these people still probably get everything done, but they do it at the cost of accountability in their organization. The second one that we see most often is the force of will manager. So they get everything done, but by cramming it down the throats of everybody. So they get everything done, but at the cost of morale. And then when you manage up, you get everything done, but there is no cost. You build a better team. And then the now phase of that, if anybody's, we're big readers. We devour literature. One of our favorite books is The 1 Minute Manager.
Mm-hmm.
And so up now, the second part of that now means to, no one's ever wondering what you're thinking. So if you see something going wrong on the floor or in the kitchen, and you wait 4 months for somebody's performance review to tell them how they've been annoying you for 4 months, you've wasted so much time and energy and coaching potential and brought so much frustration to your life. Whereas if you just said right then and there, doing what we call now coaching, hey, here's what you did wrong. Let's do it together. Let me show you. Here's the expectation, or here's what I expect to see. People respond to that, especially if you're an up manager, because they know that you're trying to manage the organization up. And so that combination is extremely powerful. And that's, most of what we teach in the culture section, which is the third part of our manager certification.
I love that because all of those things, and again, I think for our longtime restaurant operators out there, they've done all of these things wrong at times, right at times, you know, but again, back to kind of leading 101, and you talk about some of those principles from 1 Minute Manager, and for, you know, recognizing when people are doing things right, you know, training them to do the right things, and then catching them when they're doing it right, is kind of what I'm hearing you say that you guys have done. What have you seen the results?
Can I add an addendum to that?
Yeah, go for it.
So doing things right is extremely important, but there's actually something that comes first, and that's understanding the right things to do.
Yeah.
So there's not a lot of value in doing things right that you shouldn't even be doing. Yeah. So actually, one of the first things that we do, part of our proven process, is to take people through what we call a time audit. It's an old Peter Drucker technique for managers to say, like, how do you spend your day? Like, you personally, if you're a business owner, do you go to bed at a regular time, and do you wake up at a regular time? And if so, how many hours do you have in the day? How do you spend those hours? And then we take a look at that, and we usually do this post-it exercise that's really, really fun. Our restaurant owners love it. So we give them two post-it. One represents an hour, one represents 30 minutes. And they basically build out, you know, the 17 or 16 or 18 hours that they're awake. And then we take a look at that, and we say, is this schedule conducive to working on your business, to the growth that you want to achieve? And so if you see, you know, 2 hours of Netflix or, 3 hours of Instagram on there, there's certain things that you're going to need to sacrifice on the altar of success if you want to be successful. And if you do it wrong, they're going to be, you know, your family, your time, your peace of mind. And if you do it right, it's you know, 45 minutes of Netflix instead of 2 hours. It's, you know, no social media, or 20 minutes of social media instead of 3 hours. And then we help people shape the day that they want to have, where they've got standardized time every day to, you know, generally they want to do things like work out or read or meditate. And then they set aside time to work on the business where it's only for that purpose. And that's how they start to get ahead in like 90 minute increments a day. You'd be blown away at what people could get done when before they're just kind of waking up and reacting to the day. So, you know, some of that stuff, like going to the gym and spending some time reading and just adding structure to your day. That's how we teach people to manage their energy and start doing the right thing so that they bring their best self to work and start to grow their organization, and then learn how to do the right things in their organization and then how to do those things right.
Today's episode is brought to you by the team over at Seven Shifts. You guys may recognize that name because I had their founder on the show in July talking about the inception of what it is that they do related to labor management and staff management and scheduling. Great guy, great origin story related to growing up in the restaurants and solving a real problem for his family's business. You may also recognize their name because they were recently in the news because they just took a $20 million round of funding from the Union Square Hospitality Group, which those unfamiliar, it's Danny Myers out of New York City, his group that committed to work with the Seven Shifts team and help fund their continued growth. For listeners of the podcast, you guys can check out the software for free for 90 days by going to sevenshifts.com/restaurant-technology-guys. And they would love to talk with you. Great restaurant people, great technologists, and a really great product. It's funny because I've had this conversation with a lot of my team members. That doesn't give you any flexibility. That doesn't, you know, that's way too structured. That's too this, that's too that. The ironic part is it actually gives you freedom because you've got it structured and you know where you can spend the time and where you don't look back at your day and go, what did I do with my time? The opposite happened. And, you know that you're doing the right thing. And so, so many different pieces that I could pull apart, but that's going to take us away from the idea of kind of what is Synergy Consulting Group and what is your guys's LMS product do for people. Maybe we can get on and riff a little bit later, at a different time, Mike, about all of those other things, because there's so much to unpack there related to that. And I know that our restaurant operators oftentimes go, what did I do with my day? I'm the opposite. It's like, let me be very intentional about what I'm going to get done today. And then I'm going to feel really accomplished at the end of the day. And I might reward myself with an hour of Netflix instead of 30 minutes, because at the end of the day, I got accomplished what I was looking for, rather than the opposite, where I look around and it's 2:00 and I'm like, what did I get done? So, yeah. So I threw it out just a little bit ago, and I appreciate you going back, because I do think it's important for people to understand that they're working on the right things, that they're spending the time doing the things that are important, and that they're doing them right. And then that leadership, and quite frankly, even the staff, is recognizing each other for doing the right things and doing them in a good way. I love all of those principles, but I want to talk about the results, because I think when I hear from restaurant operators and I talk to different people, it's, oh, it's so much work. I don't have time. I don't this, I don't that. But the pain of staying the same needs to be less than the greater than the pain of change. And so talk to me about what are the results you're seeing from restaurant operators when they implement these types of solutions, because it sounds like when you get to the other side of it, it's incredibly powerful. It gives you, more time, more energy, more capability to make more money, more capability to grow yourself and your business if you choose to. That would be my assumption as to what comes out of it, but I'm sure you guys have got some results as to how have you seen this implemented well.
Yeah, first they get their lives back, and then they start making more money, and then they're able to, achieve more of what was their original vision when they started opening a restaurant. And I think in the simplest terms, what we see a lot is that business owners make the mistake of classifying generic problems as though they were exceptional problems. And so a generic problem is something that can be solved with a system, a method, or a procedure. And an exceptional problem is just something you never could have seen coming, so there's no way to plan for it. And what most people do is they pretend that generic problems are exceptional, and they spend their whole day solving the same problems over and over again. And so when we start to stack their restaurant operating cycle, and they have structure, training, accountability, and communication at all of those phases, then they're like, what the hell did I do with my day before? Because now all of their problems are solved. But you know, instead of running around putting out fires, being a reactive manager, we've trained them, we've taught them how to become proactive managers. And then they all of a sudden have this surplus of time, and their guest reviews go up. They start to now go into the last phase of our proven process, which is the continuous improvement cycle, where you take everything that we've built, and then you look at, you know, what can we optimize? And then you just start getting better and better and better, and what you see is growth.
I love that. I love that. When you talk about your proven process, I'm guessing that has, I don't know, are you guys an EOS company as well over there? Is that where the proven process came from, or is that that's something else? Because we just implemented in our own business the EOS stuff, and they use that phrase, the proven process.
Yes, I'm a huge fan of EOS. We don't use that system exactly. And EOS is a closed system, or it's supposed to be a closed system. His first philosophy is only use one operating system. And I think he has 20 tools, and we use probably 10 of them. But we also use a number of other tools, from, you know, scaling up, Rockefeller Habits. There's, you know, all kinds of areas that we draw from. But if anybody hasn't read Traction by Gino Wickman, that's like my trifecta for getting started and in changing your life, is Atomic Habits by James Clear,
yep,
Essentialism by Dan McCowan, and Traction by Gino Wickman.
I was going to throw out the Greg McKeown book, the Essentialism book, because that book, it changed my life. And so many of those principles, I think, restaurant operators could benefit greatly from all three of those. And I have been a huge, we're a year into our EOS implementation. And to your point, we're not looking at it and doing everything that the book does. I've also read, you know, some of those others, but I will say that, that it has changed even my life as an operator and as a principal in the business as I move forward on kind of my day in and day out operations.
And can I ask, are you using, a technology tool along with it, like 90?
I am. If you were to look at the tabs on my browser, one is your consulting firm, the second is Zencastr, and the third is 90, because I've got my, part of why I asked you potentially to move the meeting earlier is because I've got my, one of my L10s right after we're done with this, and I wanted to get it in the office to do it rather than doing it from home, because I typically record my podcast from home. But yes, I use 90. I have, our consulting group keeps teasing me because they've got the group that we use to help us implement it. They've got a referral fee, and they've already signed up at least two, if not three, people that I've referred over to them just because I've been so impressed with how it's made our life easier, and culture has been better, organization's been better, structure's been better, vision's been better, you know, the clarity, transparency, all of it has been better, and we're about a year in. We did our vision casting stuff back in October of last year. And so we're a little bit more than a year in. We're recording this in November of 2021. And it has made a significant difference within our business. And I would say, even to our restaurant operators out there, guys, if you guys haven't looked into Traction as a book or the EOS toolkit, especially for those small business operators, it is a significant improvement in the way that you operate your business in different ways that you've never even considered, or many, many little things that you might go, oh, I need a dashboard, or I need KPIs, or I need this, or I need that. It really creates a system to wrap it around. And Mike, I'm sure you can talk more about that.
Yeah, we just recommend it to everybody. It's just such an easy way. Our job is to simplify your business, because it seems so complicated when you haven't quite figured it out yet. And then you read a couple of books and you go through a couple of training programs, you go through our system, and then you realize, wow, this really isn't that complicated. I can now focus on particular parts of it and improve it, because now I can see the compartments, you know, that everything exists in. So it's really powerful to simplify and to basically sum up all of your knowledge in a little bit more succinct way. As a business owner, sometimes your mind is just a little cluttered, and it's a great tool to just give it structure.
I love it. So, Mike, I'm sure that you've had some people fall down and skin their knee as they go through this process. Talk to me a little bit about what people should be wary of if they decide to, you know, you guys have got a fantastic roadmap, great proven process to be able to implement this change within the restaurant. And obviously, I'd love for our audience that's struggling to kind of figure out how to get the flywheel moving, you know, to use Jim Collins, to be able to scale and be able to make their business better and their life better and spend more time with their kids or their wife or their husband or whatever that might look like. But I'm sure you've got some people that have failed or have struggled to get those things going. Cautionary tales to those out there is to, you know, hey, I've tried this, but it doesn't work. And you know, this is never going to work. Or you know, what do you see that restaurant operators don't do that you would want them to caution it against? Because you guys aren't the only consulting firm out there. You guys aren't the only way to solve these things. Well, I'd love for everybody on the listening to this to look you guys up and engage with you guys. You know, as well as I do, that's not going to happen. And there'll be somebody else that'll come in and get them to spend some money with them. But they lose time, they lose energy, and they lose traction back to the book because they don't do certain things. Tell me a little bit about those things that you've seen people fail at when you guys have engaged or your firm has engaged with people.
Yeah, the biggest source of failure is just trying to force a big win. So thinking that you can go through all of our coursework is only for the management side. It's like just under 5 hours. So it's really not that much, but then implementation is huge. Mm-hmm. But that being said, you know, there's still a number of courses. And so people think to themselves that, like, this week I'm going to finish all my courses and I'm going to implement all of this stuff. And it's just not the way that it works. And so right in the beginning of the program, we try to mitigate that by teaching people to just start building some change momentum and accumulating small wins. And that's how you succeed. It's just like, get 1% better every day. Just try to do one small thing every day that moves you one step forward. And so we'll start people on just take 1 6 or 10 minute module a day, and you will cruise through this program rather than saying, you know, I'm going to finish this program this week or whatever it is. And the example I always use for that is sometimes, you know, it's New Year's and you're telling yourself, I'm going to finish 35 books this year. And that's your goal. And it's like, okay, great. You know, but that doesn't tell you anything. It doesn't do anything for you. So to use, you know, James Clear's framework, instead of saying I'm going to read, you know, 25 or 35 books this year, I say, I'm going to read 20 pages every morning at 8 a.m. And I'm going to put my Kindle or my book next to my coffee pot, grab my coffee and sit down, and I'm going to read 20 pages. And then if you just commit to doing that once a day, so you break everything down into its like smallest component pieces, and then you just keep plodding along, that's how you're going to read 25 or 30 books, you know, in a year. That's how you're going to bring your restaurant around. It's just focus on the small parts. Break everything into its component parts and just work on, you know, first things first, one thing at a time.
It's so true. The other thing I would add to that is commit to it. Commit to the change, because you know, not a whole lot different than your commentary about you know, whether it's reading a book or going to the gym every day. You typically are not going to see the results of what you've read for a while. You know, you might read that book and you might get some fantastic idea that you can implement. But the thing I would say to all of our audience out there is stick with it, because it accumulates over time. These things are additive, and not additive necessarily in the, oh, I'm so stressed, I've got more to do. Working on these things are not going to turn around, you know, not going to turn around overnight. They're going to take time. They're going to take energy, and they're going to take some commitment for you to be able to do those things on the long run.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the work compounds. It's just like putting a little bit into your stock portfolio year after year after year. There's going to be more growth. The sum is greater than the parts.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Mike, I think at this point I'm at a place where you guys have, you've proven that you guys are really, really bright. You guys have lots to offer our audience, you know, audience out there, you know, again, there's so much. The one last piece that I personally want to know, and I did do a little bit of Google searching, and so there was a fourth tab up on my browser, is you talked about you being a Cicerone, or I don't remember exactly how you say it. I can read the word, but tell me a little bit about what that is, because I was unfamiliar with that. I've heard the term sommelier before, but I think what you are certified in is a little bit different than a sommelier, and very similar, but a little bit different. So can you tell our audience out there, because I'd be mad at myself myself if I was listening and I'm driving down the road or on my run and I got to stop and Google what that actually meant. And so let's throw that out to our audience if you don't mind.
Yeah, absolutely. So I became very interested in beer, and a Cicerone is basically a sommelier for beer. And I started to study and brew with some local brewers and do collaborations when I was the bar manager for Ditka's and Jordan's. And I found this Cicerone program from one of my reps, one of my beer reps told me he was certified, and it just sounded so cool to me to have this certification in beer because I had studied wine for quite a long time and I had planned on taking the SOM exam, and then I just got obsessed with beer. And so it's a program where you can take your level one is like a online test. It's, you know, it's challenging, but it's fun. It's like 60 questions and you learn all this stuff about beer. And then level two is a 4-hour written exam. Wow. With a 12-part blind tasting where you have to identify off flavors in beer. So they'll spike beers with, you know, trans 2 nonanol or isoamyl acetate or whatever, you know. So they'll spike beer with all these different flavors, and then you have to be able to identify if that's, you know, if it's fit for service or what style it is, or, you know, what the off flavor is. And then there's a performance component at the end where you have to, mine was to disassemble and reassemble a tap system and walk through all of the stages of that. So by the end of it, you were like a true world-class beer expert. And it took me, I would say, 6 to 8 months to study for it. And I probably read, you know, a dozen or two dozen books. I brewed, probably 15 beers commercially with, you know, with friends who own breweries. I got a homebrew kit and, just got really obsessed with beer and I loved it. And, you know, I love the local business aspect of it. It's that you have these little micro breweries that are, you know, becoming part of the fabric of community. And as a restaurant, as a restaurant manager, I saw an opportunity to help bring the community together and do these fun collaborations. And when you have a certification, it carries weight and people take you seriously when you want to take on, you know, fun initiatives related to that. So it was just a really amazing experience and led to many promotions and ultimately my consulting career. So yeah, that's what
Cicerone is. That's pretty cool. It actually reminded me, are you familiar with Brewery DB or anything like it? We had a previous guest on sometime in 2020.
No, I don't know.
So there's a group down in Indy, Indianapolis, that wrote a product called Brew Logix, and it's a piece of technology that that helps do keg management, and it's technology that figures out when are the kegs gonna tap out, so that you're not tapping out in the middle of a Friday night, and you got to go, you know, tap a new keg and whatnot, and so you cycle through these things, and it's got a whole cycle management is the technology piece, but they also have a database that they. I think they bought and then rebranded it called Brewery DB. If you go on brewlogix.com, LOGIX, they were on the podcast. Really, really cool family. Lori, the founder, is really, really sweet lady. We've since talked and we've talked about them potentially being on the podcast again, but they have this database of beers from all over the world where you can look things up and figure out, I want something that's super hoppy within 10 miles of my house. And it'll help you find different new beers and things out there, and, you know, the tasting notes and all of those kind of things. It kind of reminds me of some of those wine apps that are out there that you can kind of figure out, you know, Vivino is one that just comes to my mind, that you can take a picture of a bottle of wine and it'll tell you how much it is, where you can buy it, what the flavor notes are, what it pairs well with. But they did something very similar for beer. So if you're not familiar with it, to all of our audience and quite frankly to you who live in that world, it'd be cool to put you guys together and see if it makes sense.
Yeah, I love it. Very cool. Thank you for sharing that.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. So, Mike, how does the audience out there that might want to learn a little bit more about what Synergy can do, both on the consulting side as well as on this LMS product that we've been talking about for the last 20 or 30 minutes, if they want to get a hold of you, they want to get a hold of your firm, how do they get engaged? What does that experience look like? You talked about the proven process, so I'm sure you can just pull that up and talk about it, but tell me a little bit about what that looks like for our listeners out there that might be interested in engaging with you guys.
Sure. So, you know, option one is we'd rather be great than big. So, you know, we keep things tight. We have a small team. You're welcome to reach out to me anytime, Mike@synergyconsultants.com. We also have, we have two websites. So Synergy Restaurant Consultants is our main website. So that's Synergy, S-Y-N-E-R-G-Y, Synergy, and then consultants.com. That's our main consulting website. And then for the Synergy Sync program, that's Synergy Sync Up, S-Y-N-C-U-P, .com. And there you can see a bunch of our Synergy Sync, you know, training and manager certification and that. And I think the simplest way to explain what we offer is we have an a la carte manager certification. We have the restaurant operating platform that comes with the manager certification, plus the operating tools and ExpandShare. We do coaching, you know, month to month engagements where we just help people get and maintain traction and grow their business. And then we also offer live restaurant turnarounds where we will send two consultants out to basically systemize your entire restaurant in 7 days. It's a really incredible and rewarding process. We typically leave between 25 and 40 systems in place when we leave, and our clients are everybody we've done that with is still executing at 100% since we've left. So
I'm saying you don't yell at them like Gordon Ramsay does when he comes in to turn these bars and restaurants around.
No, we're a lot nicer than those guys.
Got ya. Funny enough, I actually know somebody that works for Gordon. He's not nearly as challenging as he appears on TV, but that's part of his brand, and so he's got to go there. Mike, I can't thank you enough for all that you guys do. I know that the restaurants, and you alluded to it, they are the fabric of America. They are the fabric of what we get to do in local communities, and the fact that you guys are committed, your firm's committed to helping them continue to get better is not only fantastic news, but I can't wait to hear some of the success stories as you guys continue to expand your services, and some of our audience members out there get a chance to engage with your team and drive towards what it is that you guys are trying to do, which is to help make restaurants more successful and give people back quality life and help make their lives better. And then on the purely selfish side, I love all of the different other things that you threw out, because it reminds me that we're all here to continue to make ourselves better 1% every day. And I love that reminder, because I live by that mantra. That's kind of how I live my life. One of my mentors says that all the time. How can we be just 1% better today than we were yesterday? And so thank you for that reminder.
Yeah, right on.
You know, so thank you for your time, guys. To our audience out there, we realize that you guys have a plethora of choices of people that you guys could be listening to. And so we appreciate you guys trusting us with 45 minutes to an hour of your day every time we post one of these. If we could ask a favor of you, if you haven't already subscribed to the podcast, please do so. Please share it with your friends that are out there that may need some of this, because all of you guys have lots of different restaurant people that are out there that need some assistance and maybe aren't listening to you and what you want to do, but they might be willing to listen to Synergy or whomever else, because we all get better when we share this content and make it readily available. To Mike, I appreciate it. I appreciate everything that you guys are doing. And to our audience, make it a great day.
Ditto. Thanks you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Restaurant Technology Guys podcast. Visit restauranttechnologyguys.com for tips, industry insights, and more to help you run your restaurant better.